And we are live. Welcome to episode 10 of To the Unknown Pod. Can you believe it? We made it to 10, guys.
Whoop, whoop.
Incredible. You guys are all thrilled. All right. My name is Jordan Bush. I am the executive director of TGFP Media, which exists to help Christians understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. I am joined by the full cast and crew of To the Unknown Pod. I'm going to let us go around the horn. Ash, introduce yourself.
I'm Oshawa Hawthorne, the founder and director of Brilliance Labs. We empower bright ideas with Bitcoin.
Wow. Ryan.
I'm Ryan Finley, founder of Tracker. I'm building some software startups with my boys. And yeah, father of six, triple maxi, maybe quadruple maxi now.
Ryan is also a Bitcoin nationalist. All right, Tim, introduce yourself.
My name is Tim Fox, founder, executive director of the Magnolia Foundation. We are trying to orange pill the church and other Christian nonprofits through education, through practical help and handholding. And I'm also a Presbyterian minister and a seminary professor.
That's great. All right, Jim.
I'm Jim McAndrew, software developer, entrepreneur, general AI hater, father of three.
Based.
Don't own any real estate.
Matt, grab this wave, my friend.
Grab this wave. Okay, I'm grabbing the wave here in Hawaii. Hawaii pastor and longtime bivocational, done business for a long time as mission. And I think I might have my single maxi at least in comparison to Ryan, but we need to set some, I don't know if those have been set. We need to set some, how do you get your badges at some point?
I don't think you can be a single maxi and own real estate.
But I think that's more in the 2 to 3 maxi.
That's right. All right, so here's what we do here. We spend time on Twitter, and we find stuff all over the place where we just find, you know what, that helps me as a dad, that helps me as a husband, this helps me as an investor, this helps me as a pastor, missionary, whatever it is. We want to redeem the tweets. We want to redeem our time on Twitter, and so this is kind of our way of doing that. So generally speaking, what we do is we find tweets. We kind of bring one, at least one tweet to share, and then we just feed it up for discussion among these fine God-loving folks. But today we have a little bit of an exception because we spent the last about 7 days prior to the last couple of days, but we spent about between 5 and 7 days in Las Vegas, that fine, holy bastion, known for all of its piety, there for the Bitcoin conference. And so we're going to talk about our time there. We're going to do this kind of like a day-by-day breakdown. Well, I'll let you guys add anything you want to add, and then we'll kind of go by day breakdown. Anybody want to add anything or start off with anything?
When I was a kid, I thought Las Vegas was the greatest thing in the world. And I can now say as an adult, 15 years later, it's just about the worst thing in the world. But Bitcoiners are pretty cool, and it was fun to hang out with them. We had a great barbecue Monday night with some good friends, and that was my favorite part of the whole week.
Amen. All right, so let's just start ahead. So Monday, we you know, you guys got in Monday, I got in Sunday. We did some fun stuff. So let's talk about this dinner we did on Monday. What was the thrust of that there, Jim? Why don't you enlighten us?
Well, I mean, basically, I like smoking barbecue, brisket, and ribs, so I needed an excuse to give some brisket to people. I smoked the brisket here the night before and then drove it down in the cooler in the back of my Cybertruck, and we started slicing at 6 o'clock at night. I think
Jim, what color is your Cybertruck, just for the kids at home?
Well, they're all stainless steel underneath.
All right, great. Jim wants to keep, now Jim wants privacy. It makes sense. All right, so we did this dinner.
Well, no, I have an orange Cybertruck. Jim and I had 2 orange Cybertrucks on the floor that were a giveaway, but I wrapped mine before them. I did it before it was cool.
So literally, like, the coolest prize at the conference was Jim's truck. And he just looked at it, and he's like, I already have one.
I walked by. I was just like, I already have one of those.
All right, so we did this dinner. Jim, so you wanted to cook dinner for us. There was a whole bunch of guys in town. Again, we can't even talk about some of them because they're, I mean, just the signal was incredible. But we just did this dinner where we just kind of all got together, Bitcoiners from all walks of life, and we ate copious amounts of meat and then just talked Bitcoin in a number of levels, including price predictions, right? This was part of the... If you were invited, you'd come in and you know, tout your wares, give, you know, put a number to paper.
Part of the payment for the barbecue is you have to pay with the price prediction. Yeah.
Bitcoin horoscopes. Yeah. So what was that? What was the highest price that people put down?
Well, apparently you claimed the highest price.
Oh, I did. I didn't.
Did you write that?
I didn't write down a price. I broke
the rules. Pull it up.
Dude. Well, you need to pay, charge him for that brisket. He didn't pay.
Okay. Yeah. I'll send you a bill.
Oh.
I'll send it. Yeah. Well, go. Let's just say him right here. I mean, mine was 500. I've been saying 500 for 2 years.
Okay.
I think the highest I see on there
by the end of 2025, the last 2 years.
Okay. Ryan, go ahead.
What was your thing? I went last or almost last, and I was not I didn't change my prediction based on everyone else's, which was very difficult, but I put 180. And I will say, that's my base case. But looking at the list, the highest is 440.
Mm.
Did you take a picture of our list?
I did.
Well, you only took a picture of the backside. You didn't take a picture of the front side.
No.
You missed the true bulls on the front.
My family filled it out like 2 days before. So we had 2 days less information than you guys. I was at 500. My son, James, was at 900, I think.
Let's go.
Sorry. He is the highest of anybody that had the balls to actually write a number down on the rest of paper.
That's right. So, yeah, well, I'll just throw this out there. I am on record on the PubKey podcast sometime in I believe, so it was the week before Christmas of this past year. I went on record. I believe it was like 985, I think, is the number that I put down. So none of you can say that I'm a bear. I think we're all underestimating. I always tell people we're two Saudi birthdays away from $500,000 Bitcoin. So, we'll see how that goes.
I'm not going to give details, but I came out of that evening more bullish on Bitcoin than I've ever been before. And I've had a lot of conversations and watched a lot of podcasts and a lot of videos and, I think everyone's underestimating what's coming, and we're still very, very early, and nobody has enough Bitcoin. That's how I came out of that night. And it also was probably the highlight of my trip. It was just awesome, awesome people and super good food and great conversation. And it was cool being able to sit around one giant dining table too, because it just facilitated conversation a lot better than the event. Small events are cool, but you're still kind of fractured all over the place. And the TGFB barbecue was also awesome.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. We have to say, so the house that we were at, we found out that according to the Airbnb rental, this was a house that the Rat Pack hung out at. So we're talking. Who's this? I can't even think of his name. Not Sinatra. There we go. I was thinking Travolta. Late summer. Frank Sinatra. Who else are some of the Rat Pack?
Yeah, this is why I rented it. Do you guys have a picture of it? I'm trying to find one.
Okay.
It's super bougie.
Yeah, very bougie.
Conversation pit.
Yeah, that was a wild thing. This giant, probably 20x20 couch.
It was like a lake. You kind of like thrust yourself inside of it, and it just, it was super nist.
I like that word.
There we go. That's
it, right? Sure. There we are. So we didn't show up for Vance because anyone that showed up at 5:30 in the morning and waited in line to watch our vice president got rug pulled with the nothing burger of his nothing announcement, kind of. Stump a speech.
Yeah.
I love how we're just so accustomed to the most powerful people in government talking about Bitcoin. We're just like, yeah, sure. He talked about Bitcoin, said that it was United States should take charge of it, not China. But I mean, he's pretty much a bear. He didn't even announce that they're buying like 5 million coins. So like, what's the point?
I know. And you saw for a second, the Bitcoin wives. That was pretty rad. The Bitcoin wives came to the Vegas event also.
It was a good, it was a good balance. It was good not having just all guys.
Let's see. Luke Boyle's shout, Jimmy Song, in for the day. So this is Tuesday. So we did the barbecue Monday. It was great. We had lots of fun, hung out, talked. Then Tuesday we woke up.
Let's chat a little bit. So just real quick, on Monday, I think the going with Ryan's just bullishness. Awesome.
There's the Cybertruck.
The signal that was there, and the amount of like there's all these hype fest guys on Twitter that are just like, it's going to the moon and here's this, or like the kind of like unspoken anonymous announcement where I just learned that so-and-so, like the institutions are finally piling in. Like people have been doing that for 4 years. And then it's just the meme of I made it up type of it's just like hopium. There's a lot of that in this space. And so I don't want to buy into that or kind of promote that. But just take our word for it. Trust us, bro. Like, there was signal. And you don't have enough Bitcoin. So that's my only comment about Monday.
Great. Yeah. So
there were top people in the room. People.
There were people who were in the know who were basically saying that things are about to get nuts. So that's all we'll say about that. So then we have Tuesday. We woke up early because we had the TGFB barbecue. It was going to be friends and family barbecue from noon to four. We had some wild events that went down. We had to go, you know, I was running around doing last minute things. We had barbecue cooking. I don't know what you guys were doing. You guys were helping me out. Help me bring some stuff over there. It was great.
I recorded a pod with Luke.
That's right.
I just got that edited today. Great. So that'll be going up soon.
Nice. Got the pod with Jimmy too. Jimmy's song. About four months beforehand, I just basically said, Jimmy, dude, we'd love for you to come out and speak. He's like, dude, I hate Vegas. I don't want to go. I said, Jimmy, please, this will be great. He said, okay, give me 20 minutes to speak. I was like, all right, let's do it. So he came. He literally flew in at 9:30 and then flew out about an hour before the barbecue ended and went back home. So he was man of his word, man of Christian principle, did not want to be in Vegas any longer than possible, lest asteroids fall and destroy the city. But it was great. I think that, what are your guys' takeaways from the barbecue? Anybody want to talk there?
I'd love to hear. I was hanging out with Mike Peterson out back, so I missed Jimmy's talk. Can one of you guys give the Cliff Notes version of, I heard he kind of preached it up, right? About Christian suffering.
Oh man, I'm just doing a lot of talking. All right, so he just basically, it was actually about Christian freedom. That was kind of what he, like what is freedom? What does Christian freedom look like? And one of the things he talked about was just, leveraging, like using your resources, using your, time, whatever it is, to serve others and not just serve yourself. That's, freedom is given to you in order to serve. Yeah. And so he just talked about that in a number of ways. And
He also encouraged us to, as Bitcoin continues to rise in price, just to consider how we can be generous in the years to come and even planning ahead. So it was just really good. Even calling, just reminding believers that we should be suffering at times in our lives. Like the goal is in comfort and ease and never standing up for anything. That Jesus does call us to suffer and stand up for principles and it was refreshing because you're in a very hedonistic place. Everyone's consumed with money and getting rich and gambling and things like that. And all the lusts of the flesh. And he was challenging us to put those to death and to be generous and, just as we've received a lot of God's generosity and, it was really good. It was refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So Jimmy spoke, then we had the sponsor, Josh Abitoy. Josh is the head of the Ridge Runner project, which is basically a real estate project where there's basically small towns and communities that they're intentionally investing in. People are moving there and all kinds of interesting stuff. So he kind of spoke. about what they're doing. He's also on the board of a number of different things, American Reformer.
If you have his website, you want to throw it up real quick?
Yeah.
Just so we can.
Yeah, here, let's do that.
Yeah.
New Founding too?
Yep, New Founding. So he's actually, I mean, he's putting his money where his mouth is in a lot of ways. He talked about this. They're starting, it's actually a camp. Like it's like they're taking a piece of property. Is this it? That's a different Ridge Runner. Or is this it? I can't tell. No, that's not it.
Is this like the big Christian Bitcoin commune idea where you can like get together?
It's definitely, it's definitely not a commune, but they're here you go. Ridge Runner.
Like the libertarian commune where you're like you buy portions of property and raise your family near like-minded people. Is that kind of the thing?
I mean, yeah, there's kind of. I mean, like there's people who just want to intentionally, you know, like make intentional choices about living near people who share similar values to you. And but again, like these are, you're talking about there's anything you'd imagine. Like there's apartments, there's 10-acre properties, like there's all kinds of stuff. It's not like you're, you know, living in a commune, sharing, you know, no shoes and just doing all that kind of stuff. Like it's a town. You know, there are multiple towns that people are spread out across. See if I can find this here. And of course,
it's a little similar to Balaji's.
Balaji, yeah.
Balaji's startup, almost like startup community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here you go. So, I mean, conservation, the three principles of their philosophy, conservation, revitalization, and innovation. So they're very much, I mean, trying to have a combination of owning land, you know, like living off of it, but then also like innovation. There's plenty of technology, you know, like leveraging these things. They're just thoughtful about what they do. And that's part of the reason why they make a lot of sense. You know, like Bitcoin is a good, it's a cool tool that can be leveraged towards a lot of these same ends. So they've got property in Kentucky. They've got property in Tennessee, and then they're buying up even more. They've got, I believe here in Tennessee, it's about 2 hours east of Nashville. They own over 4,000 acres, and I think they're getting ready to close on another big parcel as well. And then Kentucky, right in the Cumberland River, they own a bunch of property as well. So lots of really cool stuff. I've looked at, you know, potential of getting some land, but they're really not, it's not just like, oh, we want investment. They're not really interested in people just coming, you know, buying up land and speculating for the future. They really want, you know, people who are willing to, you know, commit to coming there. So we were grateful for them. We'll look at American Reformers as well here. Where can I go? Here we go. American Reformers, like a publishing arm. This is actually a great place. Lots of good pieces over there. I highly recommend people check those out. Uh-huh. There it is. So this is Protestant, but there's some good, again, if you're looking for like, hey, historically rooted understanding of theology, culture, politics, all this kind of stuff, there's definitely some, you know, these guys are pulling gems out of stuff that's written 500-600 years ago, if not longer. And I mean, even a lot longer than that as well. So go check them out. And then there's like their investment arm, which is, the name is escaping me right now, New Founding. So go check them out. Grateful for Josh and those guys and what they're doing. Beyond that. Okay. So after that, then we had these, forgettable, guys representing these forgettable, these foundations. We had Tim Fox and Oshawa got up and kind of talked about Magnalia and
Brilliance Labs.
And Brilliance Labs, that's the one. So you guys kind of elaborate on what you guys talked about.
Sure, I'll go first. So I'm sharing our Geyser campaign.
Let's go.
So just probably about a month and a half ago, Geyser, which is a Bitcoin-based crowdfunding platform, just launched a nonprofit tax-deductible like donation projects. So we were, as a nonprofit, able to sign up with them. It was super effortless. Took just a day or two to get a nonprofit account. We launched this campaign, and this is basically a funds matching grant that Brilliance Labs and Magnalia and TGFB partnered together to launch. We put $5 million of our own sats towards these little matching micro grants that we'll give to churches and ministries that onboard with Bitcoin and receive their first Bitcoin donation and then hold it for 9 months. And so we developed that. We started it in this last December, and we've been slowly working on orange pilling these churches and ministries. And as we got closer to the conference, we realized, hey, we should give other people the opportunity to contribute to this fund. We've funded it with our sats. Let's just kind of open it up to the community. And I think Geyser would be a great way to do that. So we opened it up last week, and we announced it at the barbecue. And so far, by God's grace, we've raised over 1 million Satoshis, right? So over $1,000 in a week. Dedicated to orange pilling churches and ministries. So if you're watching this live feed or recording later, just go check out geyser.fund. And the project is under projects. It's called Bitcoin for God, was the name we've grabbed. It's Orange Pill the Church, Reach the World is the title of our project. Tax deductible donations help us reach our goal, which is 5 million sats. Which will double our existing impact. And largely, I would say Geyser has been good, but, you know, there's definitely been some technical issues either on the Strike side. We use Strike for our Lightning wallet, and it's actually kind of embarrassing when you have a donor coming to you and he's like, I'm trying to give like a meaningful amount of money and I keep getting failed Lightning transactions. So I also on the side just had to deal with talking to Geyser, talking to Strike. And I don't know if you quite solved it, but at least right now it's working. If you have any issues, DM me on Twitter and we'll get them worked out.
And then, yeah, so that was great. Again, we've been encouraged by the response to that. Then also you guys had a map. Why don't you kind of talk about the map a little bit, Ash?
Yeah, sure. So, last like September, I went with my coworker Nate to South Korea to the largest gathering of global Christians in the world, and we had a booth where we were essentially demonstrating the technology of Bitcoin to this global missions world, and we had about $5,000 worth of Bitcoin to give away, and essentially we sent $10 in sats to people at that come to the booth. And then we set up this map and we onboarded 20-something missionaries or so with a little QR code on the map next to where they serve in the world. And because they're Lightning addresses, they're static QR codes that you could just scan it and then send any amount of Bitcoin to that address. And so we just demonstrated like, hey, you're in South Korea and in like 10 seconds, you can send as much money as you want to Saudi Arabia or Nigeria or Nigeria. Yeah. It's powerful. And people are blown away by the technology. So we had an in-person map also there at the barbecue. People could just walk up and scan a QR code. No middleman. Send the money directly to a ministry that we already vetted. And we know it's Bitcoin is going to a good cause.
Hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if that's something you'd like more information about, just reach out to Ash on Twitter. It's at iAsh, just the letter I.
I-A-H-S-H. Yep.
That's right. So you can get more information about that. Jim, why don't you kind of let everybody know what Tim talked about in relation to Magnalia?
Yeah. Well, so Magnalia is actually pretty new, right? This was the first Thank God for Bitcoin event that since Magnalia started.
This is a coming out party.
Yeah, this was our debutante ball for Tim. So Tim just kind of put our flag out there and let everybody know, hey, we're trying to orange pill the church. We're a nonprofit. We don't charge anything. If you need help, we've got a lot of content. And we're also happy to get on the phone and just talk to people directly and work on giving policies and create content for churches and things like that. So I think it was pretty well received. And we had a bunch of conversations kind of flow out of that. Of guys that have just either been frustrated, you know, trying to orange pill their churches or not even knowing where to start or kind of sheepishly admitting that they donate in fiat, you know, and so it's like, yeah. We kind of need to live that out, right? So it was great.
Yep. So you can reach out to Magnalia for help on that front. You guys, again, don't charge for at least, you know, well, don't charge it for anything at this point. So
we're just trying to pump our bags.
That's right. Exactly. And then the big announcement related to TGFB itself coming out of there was that finally, after 2 years, okay, we are launching, I just got a message from JD, but we are launching the Kickstarter for the Orange Umbrella Kids book that we have been waiting way too long to do. So we showed the trailer for the book. We read a snippet from the book. So we are super pumped to get that live and out there. Basically, it's a Bitcoin kids book that never mentions Bitcoin. We just basically thought, you know, there's so many people who, again, we wanted to create a book that would be a good intro resource to people, including maybe people who are super already hostile to Bitcoin. So we just thought, what if we just didn't use the word and kind of told the story that Bitcoin was created to solve without using it. So that'll be something to be looking forward to within the next couple of days here. We thought it was going to be up, but we're still waiting for the last edits of things. So that'll be good. We're actually going to have, we did a couple of different things. So we have the book itself. We have it's called the Founders Edition. It's just basically good quality hardcover paperback. Then there's the Legacy Edition, which is like sewn bindings. It's like super high quality paper. You know, you can do some of that stuff. And so again, we want those to be able to last a really long time. And then we have also, we did a coloring book version. So we took the line art of the book and are turning that into a coloring book. So that's something that your kids can enjoy that way too. And then there's some other, you know, prints of different pages of the book and a number of different things that you guys can be looking forward to support TGFB and to get resources for your, you know, your friends and family to learn about Bitcoin in a non obnoxious way. So we did that. That was the end. Now you guys have been very gracious and not mentioned the the elephant in the room, which was that. So basically, when you're trying to do these kind of events, one of the reasons that why we didn't do a proper like big TGFB conference, there was a couple of reasons. One of them was that a lot of our core group was just like, hey, I'm not real crazy about the prospect of doing a whole 2-day conference in Vegas. A lot of our people didn't want to be in Vegas any longer than they had to. So that was definitely one part of it. The other part of it was it is insanely expensive to do events in Vegas. If you're going to try to get a big enough place to host 500, 600 people, it is rough. And so as I was sitting there trying to find a venue, I ended up finding one. It was a house. It could host about 100 people, which is what we were anticipating. And so I was like, saw those two things, was like, great. Saw, you know, a little bit of the venue. Just saw it was a nice house, really old school, fun Vegas house. But I did not check very carefully as to what was going on the walls in this house. So we show up, me and a buddy show up with all the food and tables and stuff to get ready about an hour before everybody's supposed to show up, walk in. And much to our surprise, we were greeted by women in various states of undress on some of the walls of this house. So what we found out was that the guy—
Some of the walls?
What'd you say?
Some of the walls?
Many of the walls. So basically one of the guys, the guy who owned the house is a young guy. He's a photographer. And he just happened to be a photographer of women in various states of undress. And so he had these pictures, like large pictures on the walls. So again, God is gracious. We were able to shut off some of the rooms that had some of the, you know, the worst and most, you know, most offensive things. And then just, you know, pulled down a little thing to be a little covering to be a, you know, projector screen, ended up working great. But still, we all, you know, we're just like, what are the odds that the one house we book in Vegas is this house? So again, sorry to all of those of you who are, came to the party and had to be subjected to that, you know, whether in small measure or more. But again, we're grateful for everybody who came. We had a former NFL player show up. We had not Episcopalian, Anglican minister came. We had Presbyterian ministers. I believe we had two bank owners who came. Just had a whole bunch of, we had some Chinese Christians who came. We had a whole bunch of just really, really fine folks who came out. And also some of what I was told is some of the best brisket people have ever had in their lives. Oh, yeah. So yeah, shout to my buddy Jay. Jay is a buddy who I used to go to church with. He's the man. He lives in East Tennessee, actually, in one of the towns where Ridge Runner's operating. And about 3 weeks before the barbecue, he reached out to me and said, Hey dude, I've cooked for tons of people. I'm not worried about that at all. But cooking on a grill that I haven't you know, cooked on before. I'm just a little bit nervous about it. So I think I'm going to drive out to Vegas from East Tennessee, bring my $3,500, 650-pound smoker in the bed of my truck and come out there and cook everything. And so that's what he ended up doing. Did a great job. And so we were super grateful for him. Anybody else want to mention anything or feel like they need to get into the bus for anything else relating to the barbecue?
The brisket was amazing, and that's saying something.
Okay. Yeah, I will say Jim, yours was fantastic as well.
And I would just say, like, for the record, there was nothing pornographic on the walls. Like, it was everything. It was technically safe for work, but not safe for your soul if you're a dude. I'll just say that. Like,
yes.
So, just for the record, I don't know what people are imagining, but it's like, it was safe for work in a way that, is still not safe for your soul. And by God's grace, he knows. Like, I mean, it wasn't any worse than walking down the strip in the evening in Vegas.
Very much true.
I'll just say that. Like, it was kind of par for the course if you're in Vegas.
Yes.
But God forbid, let's maybe not go to Vegas again.
Unfortunately, we will be going to Vegas again, but we will not be going back to that house. but no, one of the things that was cool. So this guy was a younger guy, and the party ended, and then we had about an hour to clean everything up, and he was just very appreciative and complimentary, and basically said, you know, you guys are doing, it's like, it's crazy. You guys left such a, you know, didn't leave any kind of a mess. Usually people leave the place destroyed. So we got to be, you know, and he was there the whole time, so he heard what we were talking about and stuff. So we got to be salt and light in that way. But all right, so then we had for some of us the first Bitcoin conference we'd ever attended, the first Bitcoin Magazine conference. So Jim, I'll let you take the helm for Wednesday. What was your?
I'm gonna inject one more thing on Tuesday. So
do it.
Some of us went to the Sphere. If you're considering going to the Sphere, I mean, it's this amazing mega structure that they built that is essentially like a IMAX theater on steroids. What I'll say is the tech is pretty amazing, but if you're going like a time that we went when they only have the default show Postcard from Earth, I'd say don't go. Like it was such an utterly absurd message. I mean, it's basically this environmentalist kind of hit piece. It starts off essentially with like humans evolve from nothing and life is meaningless to, you know, humans are the devil and we destroyed the earth to humans eventually get off earth and become gods and terraform other planets and create life. And so therefore we've redeemed ourselves and I guess somehow we have meaning even though we came from chaos.
I mean, all that's great. So where's the objectionable part? Just kidding. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's precious.
So like the visuals, I wish, honestly, if they just handed out headphones and everybody could have their own soundtrack, just watching the visuals, that part was amazing, but I wouldn't, I'm kind of bummed about giving them money for that message. So
makes sense.
Stay away from the Sphere.
That's actually an idea. You could record a separate soundtrack for a Sphere videos. And then have just people like show up with their AirPods.
That's like the what is
in the hijack
Wizard of Oz? The Wizard of Oz like tracks perfectly to what is
Pink Floyd?
Yeah, Pink Floyd. The Wall,
Dark Side of the Moon, or something.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, The Wall has its own movie, but yeah.
Okay.
So you could put the Christian message straight over the other one.
Got it.
I like that little Wizard of Oz action.
Okay, so what did we do Tuesday night? What did you guys? We went to the dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. We went to Paris. It was right underneath the Eiffel Tower. It was pretty cool. I recommend the restaurant. It's called Mon Ami Gubby. So if you're in Vegas and you want to treat your wife to like a romantic dinner,
it's good.
A good place.
We did indeed try escargot. Some of us for the first time. Some of us are big fans. We eat it all the time. Like, gosh. But some of us, it was the first time we'd had it.
Dude, I burned the top of my mouth on that. It was like, it hurt for like 5 days. So, you know, the snail had to die and then it got me back in death.
It stung you. I tried the escargot for the first time and the sauce was amazing.
anyways, I really enjoyed it. I don't think I would have tried it earlier in life, but I've slowly matured enough to. The texture is weird. It just kind of dissolves in your mouth. But yeah, it was really good.
It's part of being a future Bitcoin patron. You got to try that stuff.
So I really appreciated having the Bitcoin wives there. So Jim had his wife, Tim had his wife, and then there was another Bitcoin pastor there, Ben, with his wife. And it was just awesome, like having them interacting with the guys. I know there was a really fruitful conversation with Ryan, myself and one of the wives about homeschooling and education and discipline. And yeah, it's really rad. I really appreciated their perspective. And I think more Bitcoin conferences and meetups need to bring the ladies.
Well, eventually Sharon came out, not to that dinner, but
yep.
I think that kind of got you over the hump of having her come out, and that was great too.
Yep.
Yeah, I will say again, I've gotten time with each of you. The for me, the probably I would say one of the top two highlights was meeting and hanging out with Ben. Ben Haley put forward the overture for the PCA, which will be voted on, potentially acted on here in a couple of weeks. Pastor in a church in, is it South Texas?
Yeah, he's actually in College Station.
Yeah, College Station, Texas. But just such a great dude. Just, I mean, love talking with him. Shout out to Ben and his, you know.
Well, yeah, so on the way to that dinner, we were in the Uber together, and he's like trying to just orange pill anybody, right? So to the Uber driver, he's like, look, you got to put like $100 in that thing. You get you some, and then you study it. He's got this real thick Mississippi accent.
Yeah.
And then like, it's just, we were all trying to be like him the rest of the trip. We were trying to talk like him because he's so cool.
Yeah. He was
pretty awesome.
Yeah. We sat right next to each other during the dinner and just talked a whole bunch. Was grateful for him. Just talking about his ministry and stuff. He just trained a few elders at his church and like installed them before going on a little bit of a sabbatical. So it was just cool hearing from somebody in the ministry trenches, who's also really up to speed on Bitcoin and really, you know, keenly focused on trying to help, you know, the church steward it well, the broader church steward it well. So I just really enjoyed getting to meet him and his wife. Let's see. We walked down the strip that night. We saw the famous fountains. We tried to rob a casino because we were inspired by Ocean's 11. What else did we do?
We did the fountain. We walked around Caesar's Palace. So, you know, when in Rome, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we did that. All right. Wednesday. Jim, what'd you think? This is your first Bitcoin conference. What'd you think?
I mean, I'm an introvert, right? So walking into a room with 30,000 people is pretty overwhelming, just the din, like the noise, you know? But my dad's takeaway was that nothing stops this train. Like the amount of just momentum and people and energy and excitement. And I think we all get kind of a little bit bummed sometimes because we feel like the only Bitcoiner, or maybe there's just one or two other people in our circles or whatever. But when you all come together like that and see how many people there really are, I think that is one thing I will give credit to Bitcoin Magazine and, you know, the whole thing. Obviously, we don't really agree with some of the stuff that David Bailey and those guys promote. And there was a lot of degen kind of altcoin kind of people there. And David Bailey was seen shaking hands with the Ripple guy and stuff like that. So I don't know, you know, I think there's like two sides to this coin. There's the hardcore maxi kind of Matthew Crater style where it's just, you never go at all. And then there's just the total opposite direction degen kind of thing, which I don't know. It was interesting. So I don't know, should I save the discussion about Ross or should we talk about Ross for a second?
We'll save that. So what else did we see on Wednesday? You guys, I mean, we did
Peter Schiff.
Go to.
Yeah. So that was when Peter Schiff talked. So he was on stage with Natalie Burnell and then another gold bug that's into Bitcoin. Mm. And he he's just so absurd. Like I think Schiff, you know, he's like a caricature at this point and he knows it, you know? And so I'm just like, Is this just his shtick at this point? And this is how he like gets attention and this is how he makes money and that he's actually a closet Bitcoiner? I mean, surely he knows he's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, he's, I mean, this is like free marketing. Like you, I mean, the amount of money it would cost to get him this level of money. I mean, this level of, what's it called? Like,
exposure.
Exposure would be, I mean, it's tens of millions of dollars worth, like if not more. And so he's happy to play the heel. I still think he's hate stacking. You'll never convince me after first hearing of Bitcoin in 2011 that he doesn't own some. I think he does own some. He'll never acknowledge it, but I really do think he owns some.
Well, I mean, I guess he at least has a little bit in the address that he published for people to donate to his Bitcoin reserve or whatever, but.
You just will never be able to convince me he doesn't own any. He's not.
Doesn't his son, his son owns some, like his son's been converted, I think.
His son did, but then he became an altcoiner.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the fatalities of the last bear market. He didn't survive.
He's gone through the valley of the shadow of death.
So yeah, we got to meet some people. For sure. I mean, Saifedean was there, shook his hand. Larry Lepard was there. I got to meet, I know some people are kind of not sure, some of the Simply Bitcoin guys. I really like Rustin. I got to meet Rustin. That was cool. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rustin. People, I was wearing like this blue suit the first day because we were going, so River was having like a event or whatever, and I wanted to kind of just look snazzy for that, and so I had to wear the suit the whole day because like getting around in Vegas was just insane. Like getting back to the Airbnb was impractical, so I was wearing
navy blue. The record show, navy like blue. You weren't going like flamboyant.
No, like politician blue. You know, so people
right orange tie.
Yeah, people were mistaking me for Don Trump Jr. I guess because I was wearing like the
it's fair
blue suit or something, and I got like the beard, but. Anyways,
I often do one late thing.
This lady walked up
more visual like, politics than anything, but yeah, you're right.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. This lady walked up to my dad and it was like pointing to me and she was like, is that Don Trump Jr.? It is. My dad was like, nah, that's not him. And she's like, no, really, it is. My dad's like, well, that's my son. So obviously I'm not the Don. So
you should have just rolled with it. That's funny.
So
hilarious.
We gotta meet Adam Back. That was really cool.
Yep.
One of the founders of Proof of Work.
He was just kind of standing around out there.
Yeah. Why don't you kind of give an intro to what Moses has been working on?
Yeah. And Marty. Connect with Marty.
We gotta hang Marty. Hang out with Marty Bent for a bit. Super cool guy. Yeah. Moses has been working with him a bit on a project that they should be announcing any day. So.
You kind of me tweeted about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
it's not secret, right? Can you talk about at least the general idea?
Yeah, it's called opportunity cost, and it's going to change. It's going to enable people to view everything in Satoshis, like on the internet, and just kind of change. It's a really cool, little project that they're about to unveil. So, it was cool. Yeah, just getting to talk shop with him, and that's one of the highlights. It's the talks, you can always watch them later. Sometimes they're fun to see in person, but it's the people, you know, especially if you've been in a lot of the people that have been in Bitcoin for very long. Yeah, it's kind of lonely. It's kind of lonely space still. We're still early, really early, and. Being able to spend a few days with just other people that just get it, you know, that have been in the space for years and years. It's really nice. And it's a lot of fun. So, and then also just getting, meeting people like Saifedean, like just these people and other podcasters and like people that have like helped orange pill the masses. It's just neat. Or people that have encouraged us along our Bitcoin journey. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think who else. You got to see Mark Moss. Mark's a friend. You get to hang out with him a little bit. I'm trying to think who else. These are like lesser known people, but Aladdin, there's guys who I've seen like the last four conferences, like Aladdin from the Bitcoin Trading Cards, JD and Zach and Bondor came. Bondor was up for one day. Again, just like lesser known people, there's a lady named Ting. Shout to Ting. She lives in LA. She's a designer. She's like had her work published and like worked with like Gucci and Prada and all these like humongous designers. She's like interior design. She works with a lot of like vintage leathers and stuff. But got to hang out with her and kind of talk. She, you know, talk about what she's working on. She's working on like this incredible. I think she's posted pictures of some of this stuff, but like she's gonna be actually having a store where like she makes belts out of like vintage leather with like OPSEC friendly Bitcoin designs. So just incredible stuff. Somebody was wearing one. It was really cool. It's always good to see Skylar from Finite Supply. Yep. Yeah. Shout out to Skylar. I got to see him at the airport when I went to the airport after having not slept the night, Thursday night. And he just happened to be right. His gate was right next to mine. So we hung out and talked. I'm trying to think, anybody else that you guys really enjoy getting to hang out with?
Ben Justman, right?
Let's go. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Peony Lane. Yeah. Super, super grateful for Ben. Yeah. You guys saw Luke Broyles. We get to hang out with him some. Steve Turley was in town. If you guys don't know him, he's like a YouTube channel with like 1.25 million subscribers. I got to do like a 15, 20 minute chat with him and some other financial guy. Oh my gosh. I have to tell you about that. I didn't get to tell you guys about that. So it's me and this guy. I think his name was like the Finance Ninja or something like that. Fine guy, but is more of like the charismatic persuasion. And so there comes a point where we were talking about something to do with Bitcoin. And like he brought up like end times. And so at one point as he's talking, I quickly looked at the camera and did like the JD Vance from the debate. So I haven't seen the clip. I really want to see it so bad.
The Office. Where you would get
But anyhow, so I thought of Jim immediately, but yeah, it was a little bit wild. So, we'll see if we can find that and post the link.
So, let's talk about the EV parties.
Chester.
Oh my gosh, man. Shout out to Chester.
Look at the clock or the display behind you.
We have it.
Chester. You got one too, Jordan?
Yeah. I did.
You got one. Yeah. Is that yours, Jim?
Yeah, I got a.
Oh, yeah. Tell you, so we can see it. Is it possible to?
No, you can see it in Jim's.
Okay, my window is too small. There we go.
It's slick.
Woo! That's called the Blocktron. Basically, Chester. The Cliff Notes version is Chester PubKey. Just basically put out a tweet a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, saying that they were looking for something. Like a
number
clock.
One
is 21. OG right there. So you guys want to see my studio setup?
Let's go. Based. So they basically put out this call of like, hey, we want like something to display the Bitcoin price and some other things. And so Chester basically said, hey, I can build that. And so he built like a bigger version of what you just saw that's actually sitting in PubKey right now. He's built another one that's gonna be in SwapKey, which is the Bitcoin bar that's going to be in a bar and restaurant that's going to be in Washington, D.C. So there's going to be another one. And so this is like a smaller version of it. These are the founder's edition, number to 21. So we got those. Jim snagged number one. I got Triune number three. You know, we won't talk about who's more spiritual. But, you know, we could, but we won't.
God is one.
Three and one. I guess we do have to work together in that sense. So we did that. Shout out to Chester. He's one of the most generous people in the entire industry. He just, I can't say enough good things about Chester. Super.
That's what my Bitcoin Day magazine or the newspaper from El Salvador, when I first met him, first day I met him, he handed me a copy of the newspaper. I'd see it in the back of your shoe, Jordan.
The going rate for those, I believe he bought 40 of them, and I think they were $100 each. So he literally spent $4,000 on these newspapers to be able to go to the Bitcoin conference and give them away to people whose work he depreciated. So he's just an incredibly generous and kind and godly dude. So shout to Ginger Sherpa on Twitter. Go find him and follow him.
What's the going rate of those things now?
The founder's edition, there's only 21 of them. He's trying to recoup his development costs. So it's about $500 each. I think he sold more than half. So there still might be a few left over if you want to go find him and message him. But they're sweet little things. You can customize a lot of this information as well. So
It's, you know, it's on the same order of magnitude as the block clock.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like how it has the additional information. I think, what is it? It's Satoshis per dollar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Current price.
Time.
And you can customize that. You can change the information. He's working on like Nostr integration too, where if you get a Nostr message or something like that, it'll spur in the clock. There's all kinds of really cool stuff.
Says great things can't be vibe coded, Jim?
Well, I think Chester would say that actually, because he's actually a programmer and has been working very hard on
it. I was talking to him about it.
He did vibe code it, but he was also typing code directly in. I'm going to have Chester on our pod and we're going to go at it over AI. So we'll see.
AI and do AI quantum as well. Chester is in the best sense, he is a doomer in terms of quantum. I'm still skeptic. We need to get somebody on.
But I think that we're not going to see quantum until AI invents it, at which point the thing you need to be worried about is AI, not quantum.
Mm.
Hey, let's talk briefly about the parties. Okay, the evening parties. So we like divided, we divided and conquered, right? We all had different invites to different VIP parties. So I went with my crew. Actually, you know, Valley.
To be clear, I was not invited to any VIP parties. I begged for an invite to get into the river party, and they begrudgingly gave me an invite.
Let's go. I heard they didn't like manage the door, so any like riffraff off the street could come in.
It's true.
You could randomly walk in.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had no scruples, like Ash, you could totally have walked right into that party. And, you know,
for the record, I had an invite to the swan party and I like scanned a QR code to get in.
Well, some of us are honorers enough. We don't even need QR codes. So tell us about the swan party, Ash. How did that go?
So I was hanging out with Skylar and some guys. We saw Valentine from Motive Peru.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We were hanging out with Valentine.
No way. I didn't even know he was in town.
Yeah. So we're hanging out with Valley. He leads a Bitcoin circular economy in Peru. We hung out with him in El Salvador. According to Mike Peterson at Bitcoin Beach, Peru has a larger, more successful circular economy than even Bitcoin Beach. So check it out. Yeah. Check out Motive. Go visit Peru. They're doing awesome work. But we were just hanging out, so we invited him to come join us. Valley was my plus one. So I met a guy that does home mining, heat reuse. He lives like 30 minutes from Roseburg. So Ryan, I'm going to introduce him to you. The guy's name is Dane, full-on Bitcoiner, working in Bitcoin mining. And we actually talked mostly about Jesus. Because he was, we went into the whole don't trust, verify, and kind of faith analogies of Bitcoin, and really, really fruitful time. And then the other kind of rad connection is I met a guy who leads a family office. He's a Christian. Mm. He's worked a lot in the Christian entertainment industry, so working on like Angel films,
Angel Studios,
all the Angel Studios stuff, invest in those.
Shout out to JM.
Yep. JM, a shout out to you. And yeah, so just rad connecting with folks that you would never have met any other way than showing up at a one of these parties where they're bringing together these kind of high signal folks that are already investing heavily in Bitcoin and you don't have to convince them. You can just kind of go straight to connecting on like just the shared commonalities that you have. So really, really, really encouraging.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Crypto Graffiti. He's become a friend just through hanging out on Clubhouse and seeing him at conferences and stuff. Just without question, the best artist in the Bitcoin space. Created this incredible like bronze statue of a guy riding on a camel, like the Silk Road logo that he made for Ross and gave it to him. It was like a one of one. But he just, gosh, man, he's so stinking talented. What a great dude. Super humble, down to earth. Got to hang out with Asanoa, who's another Bitcoin artist, really involved with the Bitcoin trading cards guys. Got to talk to him. Got to meet Mick, one of the founders of Geyser. He was a great dude to hang out with. I think that was on Thursday night. Really enjoyed spending time with him. There's a guy named, go ahead.
I was just going to say at the river, are you talking about the river party?
No, this is after that. We were hanging around afterwards.
Yeah, all the river people were there. Lindsay Faust and Ben Epling were there.
Yep. Ben.
And they're both super cool. They're kind of on the other side of helping. So all the mission orgs and churches that have been on the grants that Oshu was talking about earlier, they're kind of our contacts at River to help us onboard the churches there. So super cool people and good to get to know them in person and just put a face to the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Ben. He's a great dude. There's another Bitcoin artist. It starts with an M. It's something one. Mo something one. But it's the one, if you've seen the one, it's like the checkerboard with like the people underneath of it with they're like holding the checkerboard. You maybe have seen that one. He's like a really famous artist as well, like even before Bitcoin. But then he, like his that piece got like national attention for somebody. I can't remember what his name is, but he was hanging out at one of the parties. Anybody else who you guys had meaningful time with?
I think that kind of covers
this. Should be a list of potential follows after this pod, right under the, you know, the thing. That'd be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of great people.
Jim Kreider, he was there.
Shout out to Jim. Shout out to Ryan Ronaldo. Jesse Berger, author of Magic Internet Money. We've been friends for like 5 years. He refused to get the vaccine, so he wasn't able to come the last few years since COVID. We met on Clubhouse like 5 years ago and then did like a Zoom call in 2020, and just been friends, talk periodically, but had never met each other in person. And so he was actually there. And so we got to hang out. There were some other ones too. I can't remember, but we're just grateful for the time we get to spend together.
Do we want to try to land this thing or do we want to give takes on some of the talks?
Yeah, let's land it with the takes. Let's kind of like,
I mean, some of those takes could take a while, and we're already in an hour here, so.
Yeah. Good point, Jim. Why don't you lead? Go for it.
I would say let's just do one take on the Jack Mahler's strike talk, and then maybe we could do the Lynn Alden, Nothing Stops This Train, Michael Saylor, Love Fest with AI, and Ross ones for the next pod.
Okay, sure. So I missed the Ross one because I had to step out to go pick up my wife. But literally the only sessions I listened to the whole conference was that afternoon. Lynn Alden through Saylor and Mahler.
Did you see you saw the Jack Mahler's one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I mean, he basically started shilling their new lending product, which is, you know, single digit percentage on your Bitcoin. But of course, it's only if you're borrowing like a gajillion dollars from them. Otherwise, it's 12%.
$2 million.
Yeah.
Gets you the single digit rate.
So,
sweet.
You guys want to give your take on borrowing against your Bitcoin?
I mean, just real quick, I think eventually it's going to get down pretty low, like kind of what's existing for like people being able to borrow against their stocks. So whatever that is, 5.5-6% somewhere, or it should. It's still high. It's still early. I think the banks getting in on the space, they're not going to let this go. So there's going to be a lot more competition and a lot more money available for that product as it matures. So it's exciting.
I get nervous because it seems like there was no conversation about cash flow. It was just numbers going to go up. So obviously you're going to be fine because you'll just be able to pay off the loan after number go up. And it's like, okay, but if number go down, which it can and has done that, and it has done that for long periods of time, you have to have the cash flow to service that loan in the meantime. Otherwise, you're going to have to sell seed corn.
Well, to be clear, I mean, you have, I mean, the specific example that Mallers gave was that he was the first customer for this product. He hasn't sold a single sat since then because he takes out a loan against 2-5% of his Bitcoin. So he did plead with people to be good stewards and to not go, you know, full Jim degen, taking out humongous loans. So again, I felt like there was prudence. There was prudence there. There was, you know, practice prudence, 2 to 5%. Like it's a small percentage.
So the minimum loan is 75 grand.
No, it's not true.
Yes, it is.
It's not true.
Yes, it is.
Let's share the doc.
What are you looking at? When they launched it, you had to take out a $75,000 loan at 50% LTV. So you had to have 150K. You needed a Bitcoin and a half on Strike to access 75,000 in liquidity.
That's not what it is. No. He talked about that at the thing. Like the lowest, I think it's 10 grand is the minimum. So yeah, those have come down significantly, which is the point of the announcement. So
I think there's two things that come to my mind about this. I wasn't at the conference, but in terms of this principle, number one, you know, many people are they have jobs that relate to Bitcoin. Some of the people on this podcast. So great. Good for you. But for Bitcoin, you know, whatever you do, if you're a Bitcoiner, you still have to have something that's earning you income unless you're drastically wealthy. And then your job is trying to keep it basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a real simple principle, but to throw it in there, you know, whatever you do for work, hopefully that's going into Bitcoin. Hopefully you're a believer in Bitcoin, but, you know, if you borrow, but you have no cash flow, as Jim said, to be able to pay for that, you know, maybe you can dip in a little bit of risk, but you still need to be thinking about how you're making your money. You know,
well, what became uncomfortable for me was Jack Mahler's was his retort to the people that says Bitcoin doesn't have any cash flow. He says, well, you just sell it and that's what gets you cash flow. So it's almost like he was implying that to pay for the loan, I guess if you have to, you end up selling Bitcoin to pay for the loan. But the problem is that only really works if number go up.
Yeah. And I mean, my feeling, which is on the personal level, and I think most of us share that based on the potential price at the end of the year, you know, that may be okay as long as you're not potentially putting your family's like housing and food at risk. You know, you might say instead of stocks, I believe in this, I want to do this, and I'm willing to soberly take the risk that if it doesn't hit that 180 to 440 number end of 2025, I'm just going to suck it up and accept that I was wrong. But if you're just trying to ride the train into the sunset and don't have any other plans or, you know, then yeah, that's a caution for Christians to say that's not really great stewardship.
Yeah, I think the overarching thing here is just debt in general. It seems to be like with Bitcoin treasury companies and everything that's happening, the Bitcoin ecosystem is leveraging up. It's all about leveraging up, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes me nervous kind of in the short to medium term. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the long term, there's this kind of conversation around, well, you know, what do rich people do? Rich people never sell their assets. They just borrow against them. And they try to make parallels between that and, you know, like Manhattan real estate. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you're getting rent from the buildings on top of your real estate in Manhattan, which generates a cash flow, which is what pays the interest on the loan that you took.
Sure.
So I think to say that Bitcoin generates cash flow because you can sell it, it's not a totally genuine argument to make. And I'm sure if like Jack was on the podcast, he'd probably caveat it and, you know, whatever. And we're on Team Jack. He's on our side, but I just.
Yeah. He's clearly talking to people who are full on, like 100% in on Bitcoin. Like he has people who like, again, like the reality is like, I don't have any problem with selling Bitcoin if you're all in on Bitcoin. Like that's the reality is like, if you're all in on Bitcoin, then you, at some point you might need to sell it. And that's, I mean, the whole point of having Bitcoin is to be able to sell it for things that you need at some point. So
the point is to take leverage out to buy more Bitcoin. I think that's just, you're crossing a line sort of into greed, you know, and you got to check your heart on that.
Yeah. And again, I think to be clear, he was the only thing he mentioned was 2 to 5%. So,
okay, we're just getting rid of fact checking.
Yeah. Well, Jordan was right. There we go.
What are the minimum available loans? It depends on your state.
Correct.
If you don't, if you're in Florida, you got a 10K right here.
As I stated.
If you're in Oregon, 51K. You got to take it out. If you're in Oklahoma, Minnesota,
available.
100K. Is Hawaii, Hawaii's not available. Available.
It wasn't on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you live in Hawaii, like the other communist states, you got
nothing. The state of Hawaii's government just keeps running over its people.
Yep.
Over and over and backing up, backing over them, and then running back over them again.
Hey, we need to devote a whole episode to that.
No, dude. The worst government. Yeah. What was that? Did you guys hear that or watch that short video by, what's her name? Rochard?
Yeah, Morgan.
Morgan.
Shout out to friends of the podcast, Morgan and Pierre. We love you guys. Good to see you.
Yeah. No, it was super good. I think she was talking about that and just selling off a little tiny slice. Yeah. You know, anybody else watch that? It's like a little 3-minute clip.
I haven't seen it.
Anyways.
It seems to me like the next 1 to 5 years or so, I'm just using that as a rough template. Many of us do believe Bitcoin is just going to go super. And so in that sense, if you're believing in that and you're aware of your risk and you're aware that you could lose it, it's a little different than the long term, where it'll probably, well, who knows? I don't even want to speculate on this podcast, but where it might level out to being increasing, but at a normal pace. So in that regard, you know, it depends on if you're 60 or if you're 20 or if you're 40 and all these other factors. You have to think about what's your risk, you know, risk exposure and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it does seem maybe it's trying to copy Sailor, but you're not a publicly traded company. You know, I don't know. I'm talking about for individuals, not for Jack himself. So
this actually would be a fun, you know, longer episode to do, because again, I think that this is so there's some friends who on Sundays we do like a Bible study. And so we've been going through the book of Romans. And so I came back in town on a Saturday morning and did and then studied, and we did Sunday night, we did Romans 13. So we get to talk about, you know, we read Romans 13 verse 8, owe no man anything except to love one another. And so, so we just kind of unpacked, you know, like what does this involve? And so again, I think that it's important, like, it's important to take into account like what's going on. It's not, you know, there's lots of things that seem pretty straightforward in scripture. And then you find, you know, examples where the exact opposite of what is very clearly stated is what God's people practice at certain points. So I think I'd want to clarify that while recognizing, but yeah, I think it'd be good to have to unpack this conversation. I think it'd be really good.
Yeah. I mean, so I'll just leave it with, I'll give Jack credit. Like, he told the story about the old man that buried this gold in the backyard and never wanted to do anything with it. And then of course the robber came, took it, replaced it with rocks. And then it was like, well, why do you care so much? It got stolen. It was doing no better than the rocks that were in there. And at the end of the day, I don't think Jack's a Christian, right? His message is still like, yeah, at some point, you don't just hodl forever. You got to spend it, right? We're human beings and we don't have infinitely low time preferences. And as Christians, we know that we need to provide for the church and those in need. And so I don't think we should feel bad at all about spending it necessarily, depending on what it is. And so the little anecdote that I'll give you guys is afterwards we went to this retreat and we met this OG guy. He had downloaded the Bitcoin client in 2010, like the original Bitcoin client. Couldn't even figure out how to mime with it for like the first day, he said. He opens it up the next day, clicks on the little menu button that's like get Bitcoin. In the first 12 hours, he mines 4 blocks at 50 Bitcoin subsidy. Okay, so 12 hours gets 200 Bitcoin. Then he goes on to tell us a couple of years later, his wife needs like a medical procedure.
Yep.
He has to choose between that and paying rent.
Yeah.
You know, he sold 100 Bitcoin to make a mortgage payment.
Amen. Yep.
And he didn't feel bad at 100. All about it.
Amen. Amen.
Totally. And I'm like, you know what? We're all going to be that. We're all going to be like, what? You bought a house and you had to put 4 Bitcoin down for a down payment or, you know, whatever. And it's like, yeah, maybe I did. You know, I don't know. It's what it was. And we, you know, I had to, whatever. You had to give it to the ministry you cared about. You had to take care of your sick wife. Like, this is, what is it for if it's not for this stuff, you know?
Take hold of that which is truly life. This is
I got one for us here that I just looked up. Luke 16:9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.
Dude, it's a Bitcoin theme verse right there.
It's a good one. But I mean, it's a Bitcoin, it's a challenge to Bitcoiners too, you know, like you guys are saying, it's for the kingdom of God. It's for, that includes your family, that includes legacy, but, you know, it's for spiritual use. And, yeah, again, we're already close to a good time to maybe not dive into a huge topic about that, but the debt thing is a great topic to maybe parse out sometime, because also the Protestants who made the USA sort of changed debt from the way it was in the ancient world to what it is in the USA. And that's an interesting part of it too.
Mm. Yeah. And also like to piggyback off of what Jimmy was talking about, what it looks like to be a Bitcoiner that thinks multi-generationally and how it changes your time preference and thinking about your kids and your grandkids and even your great grandkids.
So I got a question for you guys, I was trying to find the post, but I didn't find it easily. But Brian Norgaard, a couple weeks ago wrote, he was one of the Tinder founders, and he wrote how in the tech industry, he notices no one talks about family, but in the Bitcoin industry, in the Bitcoin community, it's one of the first things people talk about, family and legacy. And so I'm curious your guys' experience in Vegas. Obviously, you were there you're promoting Christian Bitcoin and you're with a lot of Christians. But even besides that, what kind of sense did you get from the Bitcoin crowd in terms of very different from the tech crowd in general, don't you think?
There was actually a talk. There was a Bitcoin family that had 8 kids there.
Yep. Yeah, they were there. Katie the Russian, shout out to her. George McHale, one of the other authors I think of Bitcoin, was there. He's got a couple kids. Katie's got, I think, 3. She's pregnant. Trying to think who else. There's, obviously we
have. There was one family, and it was awesome. There was like, I don't know. Yeah, there's 6 or 8 kids in a big train.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what we look like when we go through the airport. It was awesome though. They were walking down, everyone was like stopping where they were at and like watching them.
Yep.
And Wyatt O'Rourke, there it is. Yeah, there it is.
Wyatt O'Rourke was there with his pregnant wife. I saw at least 3 or 4 pregnant women there. So that was a new record as far as I know. But yeah, I definitely think it's a very different culture. The Bitcoiners themselves, especially like the Bitcoin only crowd, they're a very different breed than like the crypto people, which is mostly single young guys.
Or AI, which is like the other exploding tech.
Those old guys, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I responded to him about a lot of Christians too, and I wonder if you guys feel the same way too. Again, I know you were in the Christian crowd being there, but not 100%. But it seems to me that the principles line up with family, with legacy, with faith, especially Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And my sort of going back to laser-eyed Wayne Grudem, I've brought this up a few times before. Like, none of these things seemed strange to me the first time I heard them, because I had experienced good economic discussions and theology beforehand. So it was just like, oh wow, I already knew the problem. I knew the problem 25 years ago because of Wayne Grudem. In my case, I'm not saying he's the only one, but just good biblical theology brought me to the point where it wasn't strange. It was a solution to a problem I was already told about, including the sin problem, including trustworthiness problem, and all the other things.
Having kids is like one of the lowest time preference behaviors that you can do as a human being.
Yep.
And Bitcoin, of course, promotes low time preference as opposed to AI, which essentially promotes high time preference. I want the answer. I want it now. And I don't want to do any work at all to get it.
And I'm willing to give away all my personal information in order to get it as well.
And even put humanity on a path to destruction if I have to.
Yep.
I'd also add that most Bitcoiners are contrarians don't mind pushing against the grain, or they literally push against the grain on almost everything. And so like our culture doesn't celebrate kids. Bitcoiners are contrarian in the sense that most of them, I would say, or a lot of them do. And then also Bitcoin is, in a sense, it's a
pursuit of more just weights and measures, like in a just system, pursuit of truth. And ultimately, the truth is that children are a blessing and they're a heritage from the Lord. And so it's possible for even non-Christian Bitcoiners to see that that is actually true. And then, you know, Christian Bitcoiners like us, we go and, you know, hopefully we're light and salt and have an influence on others in the space. And I think that's happened.
Yeah. One of the, you know, this book that's up on the screen, The Poverty of Nations, that's one of them. That was more recent, but I like that book. And one of his first points is one of the greatest driver of poverty. I think they said the greatest, you know, so it's Wayne Grudem and also an economist, is the fact that so much of the world is unable to own land.
Okay.
He doesn't mean they're too poor. He means it's just not even possible to meaningfully own their own place. Mm-hmm. So you're squatting on government land, rich person land. There's quasi ownership, but not real ownership. So you never develop your village. Mm-hmm. You never develop your farming. You never develop your home, something we take for granted in the States and in you know, civilized world. And I know we're talking about land, but isn't that something that Bitcoin solves at a huge level too? And it's just pretty important, point that they say the number one, and I think they said something like $10 trillion worth of, I don't remember the number, you know, something like trillions of dollars worth of, land is just people are living on it, but they can't own it. So you're going to always do the minimum and you're not going to try to produce anything and you're not going to try to build anything. And if that's true, if that statement is true, or even partially, you know, maybe it's number two or three, whatever, that's, it just goes to show you poverty is a lot of times people are smart. They're able to come together. You know, you could get a group of 100 poor people to get together and buy plenty of land. But, you know, he gives the example of Colombia during certain eras and it's like, the entire country is owned by five families or something like that. And they won't sell. And even if you show up with $1 million, they won't sell. It's not even about the money. So that's something that is incredible about Bitcoin and I hope insightful about world poverty.
This book would be super interesting to read from a Bitcoin perspective. He essentially argues that you can directly correlate the which of the Ten Commandments a nation follows to whether or not it'll be in poverty or in wealth. And it directly correlates. If there are, like, people don't steal. So if there's property rights, there's not stealing. There's like rule of law. There's marriage with procreation. There's all these. If you're following the Ten Commandments, you will be wealthy as a family and nation. If you're ignoring them, you will remain in poverty. That's essentially the argument of the book. And they show the receipts to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, great. Yeah. Makes sense. Would love to, I mean, that'd be fun. Maybe we can just do like either a book club or, you know, just talk, get one, a couple of us to read through it and then just kind of do like a quick run through. That'd be great.
You got to get Wayne on the podcast, Jordan.
That's true. We could do that.
Orange pill him.
Orange pill Wayne. All right. We'll see. That'd be good. Anybody else? Any last things from the week? Last takeaways?
With AI. Leave us with a zinger.
And well, I mean, Michael Saylor was absolutely in love with AI during his talk, but I think that's going to be a really long conversation. So
yeah,
I'll just leave it with, I hate AI.
Amen. Let's feel.
All right. Sadly,
AI.
I think nothing stops the debt train. Nothing stops the AI train and nothing stops the Bitcoin train. The three stools of.
I think God stops the AI train.
Which one? Yep. Me too.
At least I hope to God that he does.
I'm speaking in human terms.
If AI is the filthy lucre, then maybe it should be used to buy Bitcoin.
All right. Well, on that note, we will leave you for today. Later, we'll be back later in the week to talk about Ross's speech and kind of our takeaways from that. We'll probably get into AI as well. Ash, grateful for you. Ryan, Matt, Jim, Tim, who had escaped earlier. We're grateful for all of you, dear listeners, who are listening to the podcast. If you could do us a huge favor, go leave us a review. We only have like three or four. No, I think we have like four or five, eight reviews, something like that. Some absurd number relative to the amount of downloads we have. go tell your mom, tell your family, your church, whoever it is, go tell them.
Just leave vibe code an AI agent to just leave a bunch of reviews.
Listen, that if that's why God gave us AI, then by all means, let's steward it for his glory. Yeah, grateful for you guys. Please go support the podcast in those ways, whether it's specifically the biggest ways you can do it are on Spotify, and by far and away the most impactful is Apple. So go leave a review over there. And then we'll be back on the next episode of To the Unknown Pod. Talk to you soon.